Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now from UP Wildlife Rehabilitation Keweenaw Group is Michelle Anderson. We're going to be talking about an aviary that they're working on putting together and doing some fundraising for. And I always enjoy talking with folks from this group just because I'm an animal lover and it's, you know, there's never a, I don't want to say there's never a bad story, Michelle, but I guess sometimes there are some pretty sad
there
ones.
There are.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I love the work that you do.
Thank you.
You know, I follow you on Facebook so I can, you know, see when you're have a rescued animal, and it's always a good time when you have someone, you know, an animal that has been restored to some good health and you're able to put them back out in the wild. That's kind of a lot of fun.
It is. It really is. And that's always our goal. And, you know, we do have some sad cases, but we work towards those, you know, positive cases where we can get them back to the wild. So,
well, let's lay some groundwork here. Tell me a little bit about the group and what they do.
Yeah. So we do wildlife rehabilitation, and we have a couple ladies that have state permits. So that allows them to do mammals. So we have Lynn that does fawns, so our baby deer. Currently we have, I think, 5, maybe a 6th on the way. All came in probably within a week. So when they start having those babies, it's it's on. And then we have Jen. She does a lot of the smaller mammals. So she'll do squirrels and raccoons, stuff like that. So they're both state permitted. And then I am sub-permitted through Chocolat Raptor Center, which is out in Marquette, for migratory birds. So migratory bird permit is a federal permit. So it's a little step up from the state permit because the migratory birds are covered under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So It just basically means you have to have a special permit to care for them. So I've been caring for birds all over the country. My husband's in the Coast Guard, so we move every few years, but for 10 years. So I've got a lot of bird experience, and I'm currently training our other volunteer, Beth, to become also state and federally permitted. So we will eventually have our own federal permit here. Up here, so that will be great. It's difficult to move birds around, any kind of wildlife, so it's nice to be able to keep those animals here rather than having to transfer them out.
Yeah, I've had an opportunity to talk with folks from the Chocolat Raptor Center. So interesting.
Oh, it is. It's really cool. Yeah. They're pretty great.
So prior to you coming here, if we had an injured bird, especially a raptor, a migratory bird of some sort, were they always having to be taken
over
there?
They have to be transferred, or, you know, sometimes we just have to say, hey, sorry, we're not permitted. We can't take that animal. But yeah, the raptors definitely get an escort to Chocolat. We actually have a bald eagle right now. I actually have it in care that was struck by a vehicle. So I've had it for 2 days, and we're going to be getting the bird to Chocolat. Sometimes they're not stable, so this bird has a spinal injury. So certainly I don't want to, you know, transport this animal and get them all stressed out until we're a little more stable. So we've been doing some anti-inflammatory, some rest, some hand feeding of lots of tasty fish, and she doesn't mind that at all. And then when they are stable, we'll get them to them. Now, they don't, they can care for eagles temporarily, but they send them further on because you need like a 100-foot flight cage to have an eagle. So they have standard caging, like we talked about for our aviary that we're going to work on. Our aviary will never have a 100-foot here. You know, maybe someday in the future. So that bird will kind of move there. So we have to have appropriate caging for the birds that we rehabilitate all the way to release. So that's what we're working on with the aviary, is to have, you know, maybe a 25-foot cage so that we can have basically do anything from a hummingbird up to like a crow.
Where would this be put?
Well, one of our volunteers, Beth, she's kind of in the outskirts of Hancock and has a really nice property. She has a barn out there and backs up to federal land, so the aviary will be there. So it's a really nice spot. It's away from cars and, you know, people. Pretty much she lives on a really quiet country road, so it's really going to be a great spot for the birds.
Well, what makes an aviary? I mean, is it just an enclosed dome? What do you have to have to make
it? Basically, we go through the National Wildlife Rehabilitation Association. They have minimum standards. So we look at that, and we do have a couple design plans just from other centers that we visited, though we certainly welcome local contractors or builders to help us with that. But what we're looking to do is something that's wooden, that's framed, and also has some has hardware cloth along the sides and buried beneath because it needs to be predator proof because certain predators, raccoons and stuff, love to eat birds. So they'll, you know, they'll dig right under unless, so it's got to be buried. And then it's framed out with the hardware cloth and then also screened on the inside to protect the feathers, because if you had hardware cloth and a bird's bumping up against that, they're going to wreck their feathers. So you want kind of, it actually is kind of detailed. And some sort of roof that will be slanted and to protect against the snow. That's going to be the biggest challenge because of our lovely winters here. So, but we definitely have some plans. And our thought is to split it so that it'll have like a screen door kind of in the middle. So we could do, you know, multiple species at the same time, which is nice to maximize the space.
And do you have the climate control this building?
No. This is outside. No. Okay. Yeah. So we, most of our birds right now are, you know, this time of year. So in the winter, it'd be very, we probably will not have anything in there. Very rare that we would get something in at that point. So yeah, it's basically a seasonal aviary.
Okay. Do different bird species then share the same space?
Sometimes. It depends. So we have predatory songbirds like jays. You wouldn't want to put them with like a little phoebe, which is like an insectivore, or like a robin, because the jays are predatory against those birds. So you would scare the heck out of them, basically. I know. There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah. So you could maybe have them in the separate, you know, but you certainly wouldn't want them in the same space. So there's a lot that goes into it. But some bird species do just fine together. So it just depends on who gets along and who out in the wild are friend or foe, you know, because you don't want to put that stress on them while they're getting raised.
Now, I am just an average Joe member of the public. Would this ever be open to, you know, anybody be able to come and actually see?
So this is the deal. With wildlife rehabilitation, we're actually not allowed to be showing the animals we are rehabilitating to the public. And the reason for that is we certainly don't want them used to people. So when I'm like right now, I have a zoo at home. I have these little Eastern Phoebes I'm feeding every 30 minutes. I have a little cowbird. I have a dove. Then I have the eagle in the laundry room in a cage. So it's quite the circle going on. So I'm not talking to them. I'm in and out very quickly. I'm trying not to have them look at me. I have the doors, you know, the window open so that they can hear outside. So there's a lot that goes into it to make them not imprint on people. So we did just have a gentleman had a duck for over a week, didn't realize that is actually, in fact, illegal. Unless you have a permit, you cannot have a wild animal in your possession. So, you know, he didn't realize it. So the animal's imprinted on him because if you're talking to them and holding them, that's mainly why that rule is in place, so that we don't expose them to a lot of people because we want them to be wild. Now, there are places like Chocolat does have some education birds, and so you can view those because they are permanent residents. They're used to people. They're there to educate. But the wild birds, we're not permitted to show them. We'll certainly do pictures and videos, and that's what's great about following our Facebook page is that you can see those updates because we can snap a picture when we're in there putting food in or whatever. But yeah, it's not something that we can do tours and stuff. You know, maybe someday in the future we would have a center that people would come to, but we're a long way off from that.
Well, what is the downside for too much human interaction and when you go to release the animals back in the wild? I mean, what's wrong if they're acclimated to human contact?
They go to humans for food, and not every human is going to be happy about that. Especially, you know, say a hawk, if you had a hawk that imprinted on you and you released it and it just, you know, flew up to somebody and landed on their head, it would, you know, it would be bad. So yeah, it does. Our job is rehabilitators, especially, with any animals, to get them to the point where they can breed successfully in the wild. So if they think they're a human, then they're not going to seek out others of their kind and breed and be successful. And likely they'll get eaten, you know, in the big picture. I know it's kind of dramatic, but, our basically job is pretty difficult because we need to make sure, you know, they're wild when they go. And as humans, we want the empathetic, you know, we want to be touching them and cuddling them. So it's very hard. I mean, sometimes in my head, I have to say, oh, you're so cute. Yeah. But I have to keep my mouth shut and just, you know, do it so that they're successful.
What if you do get an animal, in this case, a bird, that is just not going to be able to make it back in the wild. It's, you know, it's injuries. It's just going to keep it so that it's not going to get released. What do you do with those animals?
So I am actually a licensed vet tech. So it depends on the animal. There are some that we can euthanize ourselves, just basically an overdose of a gas anesthetic. They basically go to sleep very quickly. Sometimes with a larger animal, the local vet clinics will help us euthanize. So that is something that's a big part of our job. It's a sad part, but boy, we're lucky that we can end their suffering, you know, and that they don't have to be out there. I mean, certainly some birds that are injured and ill, and I mean, all sorts of animals, they're eaten by the food chain, and we understand that. But, you know, if we're here to end the suffering, you know, from something that we know is going to take, you know, weeks for them to go downhill, we certainly don't want to leave them out there suffering. So it is part of the job.
Yeah, it's not like you can adopt these animals out like the animal shelter.
Occasionally, you know, education ambassadors are a possibility. So raptors like Chocolat, they have, you know, a couple birds that have wing injuries, permanent wing injuries, but they're usually come in young. So they're not like really used to being out in the wild very long. And so they make a good educational animal. It just depends on the animal, the injury. There's certain injuries like if they are going to be blind, or if it requires amputating too far of a wing, say their bone is really badly fractured, you can't do it. So there's certain rules, and that's they put those in place so that the animal's comfortable, you know, and it just psychologically depends on the animal. So there are some that do make great education ambassadors, but it's pretty rare.
Okay. This aviary, what will it take to make it a reality?
Yeah. So, money, expertise, building materials. So we're out, we do have a GoFundMe going, and you can find that on our Facebook page. We've got, I think, about $200 so far. Our goal is $1,500. We may be able to get away with doing it for $1,000, but it's a lot of materials. You know, to think about framing it out, and then also the hardware cloth is quite expensive. The screen is quite expensive. And also we would love, you know, if anybody has building supplies too, certainly we'll take them. You know, anything that we can do to, you know, lessen the burden of buying all that would be great. And also, you know, folks that are local that have building experience that could help us build it. So I've already recruited my husband. So he's a woodworker.
He didn't have much of a
married into it. So, basically it's, you know, some money and materials and assistance, and we can get it done pretty quickly.
Now, I'm actually surprised. I would have thought that to build an aviary like what you would need would be thousands of dollars.
Yeah, for what we need it for, again, we're not going to rehabilitate birds up to, like I said, eagles, you know. So the raptors are still going to go to Chocolat, and other, you know, if we got like a great blue heron or something random, you know, big bird like that, they would be transferred to a proper facility. So we're talking about, you know, our songbirds, which is our most common patient, you know, so like hummingbirds on up to like crows and ravens is what this will fit. And that's, you know, the majority, I'd say, I don't know, 90-95% of the animals, the birds that we're having come through. So.
Well, how do you get those birds? If somebody's walking down the road and they see,
a robin? I mean, all sorts of things. You know, some folks find them and they're concerned and they give us a call. Both Lynn and Beth have their numbers posted on our page. And so they kind of act as a dispatch. They'll figure out, triage, you know, is the animal actually injured? You know, a lot of our wildlife, like fawns, it's normal for the parent, the mom, to leave them for quite a while. So if they're tucked in somewhere, you know, people still see this cute little baby animal. They want to, intervene and help it. And sometimes they don't need that. So and with birds, fledglings, when they come out of the nest, it's a normal part of their growing up, basically, to be hopping around, acting, you know, they look a little bit, you know, worrisome, but mom and dad are still paying attention to them. So those types of situations, it's great that we can talk to people because we can explain and educate before they take them out in the wild. Because we don't want to, you know, we'd rather just deal with the injured and sick, you know, the ones we really need to care and that are truly abandoned. Because certainly sometimes it does happen. We've had quite a few does that have been hit. And so the babies, of course, they need our help. It's basically call, walk down the street. I mean, we have, you know, all sorts of calls. So in a day, you know, there can be quite a few. And some of them are education where we can get the point across. us, and we can determine that animal's okay to stay out there, or sometimes they can come in to us. And so our big challenge is the transport, getting them to us. So that's something that folks can help too if they're interested in getting on a list, just to be able, we can call like, hey, this animal's in a box, we need it brought to here. You know, that's a huge assist for us.
I know every now and then we'll run or pass along some information to tell the public that don't interfere when you see the animals, that, you know, you may be thinking that you're helping, but you know the chances are you're going to probably do more harm than good. To just go ahead and call.
Yes.
This would be a good place to, I guess, to call your group as well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about deer fawn. You know, people see the deer fawn and they go and they want to interfere, or they want to help, or they pick up an animal that you know they see on the ground. Besides that, you might be interfering with the natural process. Oftentimes, if you're able to approach a wild animal, there's something wrong with that animal, and you don't want to be approaching it.
Right, right. And it is. It's totally situational. Like last summer, unfortunately, we had a terrible distemper outbreak. Oh, it was just so sad. And so many raccoons and fox skunks dying. I mean, it was just terrible. And so, yes, that's when the public was like, I see this skunk hanging out, you know, in front of Michigan Tech, you know, shouldn't be there during the day. You know, that's the thing. That's where you call. Because there certainly, I mean, skunks, there's rabies vector species we have. So you don't want to get yourself hurt. And so it's always best to call. You know, certainly you see your cat, you know, tear a big hole in a bird and it's just sitting there. Obviously, that's something where you can pick the bird up and put it into, you know, into a box, a quiet place, and give us a call. You know it's injured. Or if you see them dragging a wing, or if it's a mammal, you know, dragging a leg, those are situations where it's pretty obvious. But yeah, when in doubt, call, basically, because there are some situations we can talk you through and leave them out in the wild if they're okay. But yeah, certainly we get plenty of injured and truly orphaned animals this time of year too. So,
well, since I have a bird expert at my disposal right here, let me ask a couple of questions. These are actually the things I've heard again as average Joe in the public, when it comes to birds, if you see an injured bird, that they carry diseases and you shouldn't touch it, or you can, you know, I heard that you can get lice from birds. These are things I've actually heard as kids. Are those true?
Yeah, birds are pretty, you know, as far as zoonotic diseases, they're lower on the extreme level than mammals. You know, if you have gloves, that's great, or also a blanket or a towel to cover them in. You know, it's just common sense hand washing. Certainly, if they poop on you, you're going to wash your hand. You know, don't stick your hand in your mouth. I mean, that's kind of, you know, common sense. But certainly with children, you got to be careful, because they don't, you know, their hands are always in their mouth and touching. But you wouldn't want a child, you know, handling a wild animal anyway. But yeah, on the zoonotic scale, it is a myth, though. A lot of people worry about touching the babies because, you know, the scent of the human.
Yes.
Well, in fact, birds have a terrible sense of smell, unless you're a vulture, you know, or an eagle, somebody that actually is a scavenger and, you know, uses their nose to find food. So they don't care. You know, if you've touched them, you can safely put them back, which is great. You know, mammals, for the most case, you know, there are some situations where you have to be a little more careful. But yeah, that's kind of a myth. But yeah, zoonotic issues are with mammals more than birds. Certainly they can carry, they have lice and mites and all that, but they're species specific. So they might like crawl on you and, you know, gross you out a little, but they're not gonna, you know, you're not the host they want. They want the birds.
Okay. You're a volunteer with this group, with the UP Wildlife Rehabilitation Keweenaw Group. It's mostly volunteers
it's
there?
It's all volunteers.
All volunteers.
Yep, we're 100% volunteer. We are a 501c3. We get no government funding or anything like that. So we're great community service here, and we do rely on donations to keep going. So those donations go towards food for the animals, like the fawns and the raccoons and squirrels have a real specialized diet that's very expensive. And then the birds, you know, I mean, the meat, we feed a ton of insects, a lot of mealworms and crickets. Those have to be shipped in. I mean, I'm talking mass quantities of, you know, maybe 1,000, you know, bugs, I don't know, a day, you know, for one little bird. So that always adds up. And caging for all these animals too. And also veterinary care. We had Copper Country Vet Clinic was gracious enough to help a fawn last year that was had a huge laceration, and we did some crowdfunding, and before we knew it, it was all paid for by local contributions. So, you know, we really do appreciate that, and that is how we can keep our doors open through the community support.
Yeah, you don't have an extra $1,500 lying around to
build
that aviary.
Right, we definitely don't. Yep, and we have to. We certainly waited to make sure that we, with our current budget, had enough for, you know, what we think is our typical, you know, year for the other animals. So we didn't extend. So that's kind of why we wanted a specific fundraiser for the aviary, so it didn't detract from, you know, all the other good work we're doing. So this is a great thing that we can offer additionally to these animals.
Well, you're a specially trained and licensed worker with these animals. You're doing this for free as a volunteer? Is it just a major passion of yours?
It's a passion. I was basically came out of the womb as an animal lover. I mean, I was put on this earth to care and protect for animals. Oh no, getting choked up. But yeah, I'm pretty passionate about it. And I've worked with small animals, you know, most of my career, but about 10 years ago, I always had an interest for wildlife. And about 10 years ago, as I said, my husband's in the Coast Guard. We ended up in Key West, and I was volunteering in one of the Keys at the Wildlife Center, and there was an opportunity to run the Key West Wildlife Center. You know, hey, we need somebody. So, boy, I pitched in and did it, and I haven't looked back since. I really enjoy, especially the birds, but all the wildlife. It's just, you know, I'd say 90% of what we see is caused by humans. So it's really important, you know, to me and to all of us to give back and be able to kind of even those numbers out. You know, we get a lot of animals hit by cars, they're attacked by cats, flying into windows, you know, so there's a lot of good that we can do. And I think it's really important. It's definitely a passion of mine. And, you know, if I could do it for free, you know, I mean, 7 days, well, I pretty much already do. But yeah, it's something that you can't put a price on it, basically. Yeah.
Big difference between species of birds in Key West, Florida and up here.
It is. Yep. A lot more tropical. We had a lot of seabirds down there. Cormorants, pelicans, a lot different, a lot of fish, a lot of fish. So yeah, up here, a lot of the smaller birds. But it's interesting. I've a lot more songbirds up in this neck of the woods. But yeah, all over the country. I did some time in Alaska and California. So I've seen a lot of different critters, and it's really fun.
Well, tell me a story. Tell me about one of those animals that really made an imprint on you and, you know, you still think about to this day.
Yeah. I think last year we had an eagle come through here. A juvenile bald eagle that we went out to the Mohawk area. The sheriff's department had it, and we brought that bird back and had it, you know, again, in the lodge room in a large crate. Beth and I, you know, tubing it, fluids. It was very, very emaciated. Really woke up the next morning, wasn't sure if it was going to survive, but it did, and slowly got better enough that we could transfer, and the bird went down to Wings of Wonder, which is downstate. They have a big aviary for that bird, the 100-foot flight cage. And turns out the bird did have what they thought was West Nile. That's a big, it's a common thing that we're seeing with all, you know, especially our mosquitoes up here. But after a long time, several months up there, basically the bird just slowly improved and got back to it and was released. So I was able to see they released them down there. They like to release them with other eagles when they're young, you know, around other adults. And at that point, you know, here the weather was starting to go pretty south. So, you know, but I got to see the video there. And anytime a release, you know, an animal, either I get to do it myself. We had an owl over the summer we got to release that went to Chocolay for a bit that we rescued up here and then was able to set him free. Those are really all the releases I can kind of remember in my head and just smile about. It's really, really rewarding work.
Yeah. Triumphant day. You know, feels good.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Yep. Because, you know, if nothing happened, nobody picked that animal up, it would have died out there. So it's pretty special to be able to, you know, all this these years of training really pay off when you know, everything, all the puzzle pieces fit. And they get to go back to the wild.
Talking right now with Michelle Anderson. She's with UP Wildlife Rehabilitation Keweenaw Group. They have plans to build an aviary to help with rehabilitating birds, some of the more smaller species than that we commonly see here in the Keweenaw. And it would be placed up in the northern part here in Hancock. And how you said, so you just got this going. You got about $200 mm-hmm. underway. You need about $1,500. You got a GoFundMe page going. So I encourage people to find that. You'll find it on your UP Wildlife Rehabilitation Keweenaw Group Facebook page.
Yes.
Also, we ran something on Keweenaw Report. So you can, if you want to go to KeweenawReport.com, you can search for it and find it that way. What sort of time frame are you looking? Because we're now into June here.
Yeah,
so.
ASAP. Yeah, as soon as possible. We currently do have a, one of those large tents, the screened-in tents that people have. They put up to keep their, food and stuff contained when they're camping. So that is like a temporary that works for small birds. We have a couple robins that are in there right now, and they're going to be released here in the next couple days. But it's certainly not, something that it's temporary. So, if we can get this thing built in the next month or so, it would be really great. So, yeah, time is of the essence for sure.
All right, great. Thanks, Michelle.
All right, thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.